Hi everyone, welcome back to the Flipcast. This is Noemi.
And Rocio Perez from Denton Zrodek.
So we're super, super excited today because we have Rodney and Mark from Regal, who are one of the new kids on the block, one of the coolest kind of startup in Singapore at the moment, but also the winners of the Singapore edition of the Global Legal Hackathon 2018. And we're super excited to have you guys to share your story. Welcome.
Hi Noemi, hi Rocio. Hey. Thanks for having us.
No problem, guys. So maybe we can get started with you telling us a bit more about yourself and your background and your story so far.
Yeah. So I'll start first. So my name's Rodney, and I'm a new graduate, recent graduate from SMU School of Law, and I just finished the bar exam, so I'm eagerly waiting the results. Yeah. And so in my last semester of SMU, I actually took part in the Global Legal Hackathon with Mark, that was organized by Flip and Thomson Reuters,
yeah.
Was it? Yeah. And then, so that's how we got into the legal tech industry. Before this, Mark and I, we didn't actually meet in university, so it's a funny story. We actually were friends from secondary school.
I didn't know.
Oh, that hurt.
Didn't you? Ouch. Leave? Like, yeah. So we were in the same co-curricular activity in the first and second year of secondary school. Then someone got picked to go to the IP pro. And then...
Make no apologies, Eric.
So then after that, we didn't really stay in touch until university, where we both got into the same scholarship program, which was then how we became closer friends. So in the was it 1 week or 2 weeks before GLH?
2 weeks.
So 2 weeks before GLH, what happened was Mark was saying that we were just having drinks, not in school. And then Mark just...
Completely acceptable number of drinks,
yes,
off site.
That's right.
Exactly. And then Mark was just commenting that how come... So we're just talking about like startup ideas and what we really see for the future, because we were reaching the last semester of school. So then Mark was asking how come we never really did any projects or anything together. So then I said, oh, actually, there's this Global Legal Hackathon coming in. So I was thinking of taking part. So do you want to come along? So he said, okay. And then we found the remaining members of the team. And then that's...
The rest is history.
Indeed.
Yeah. So thank you for taking all the airtime. I really needed that to happen. So hi guys, my name is Mark. I'm a recent graduate as well from SMU with a degree in law and business. I recently took the bar as well, and I'm eagerly awaiting the results right now. But I'm more eagerly awaiting the future in the legal tech scene ahead. So just a quick introduction of myself. Not only am I a law and business student, I'm a dancer extraordinaire.
Ooh, what kind of dancing?
Street dancing. Street
That's
dancing.
Amazing.
So secret talent.
I have some recordings. Let me show you after the podcast.
We'll have a demonstration afterwards.
Okay.
Yes. So, this entire journey has been a bit crazy. Ronnie has told you a bit about how we met and how this entire project got started. But what he didn't tell you were all the crazy nights along the way, mm-hmm. where we spent many, many countless nights thinking about what project we were going to do, how we're going to proceed. And it's been amazing so far speaking to so many different members in the legal tech community. And for many of the more senior members of the community, where we're talking about senior partners of different firms or people who are very established in tech as well, it's really been an eye-opener that so many doors have been opened before us, where people are just willing to take the time out of their schedule to come down and speak to us about the future, about what is possible, and how we could possibly help them as well. And that has been a great experience.
Brilliant. So guys, you were part of last year's Global Legal Hackathon. For anyone who maybe missed out on the event, the Global Legal Hackathon was a massive event held in, I think it was 40 venues.
I think over 40.
Yeah, all around the world simultaneously in February 2018. And the idea was to get students, law students, business students, startups, lawyers, academia, members of the judiciary, you know, to kind of come all around the world, come together and spend 48 hours hacking.
Okay, so it's a really interesting story because we only decided to join the event 2 weeks beforehand. And when we started, we had no idea what the Global Legal Hackathon was. As students who were previously not that engaged in technology, personals from industry, whether it be from law or tech, a large part of the motivation behind us going to a legal hackathon was just to open our eyes as to what was there. Basically, we went to a legal hackathon to be blown away by other people. Mm. You know, we wanted to go there and be surprised and have our horizons broadened by what people foresaw in the future. What was possible at this time and place right now, and just to be part of that process and educate and learn more about that process itself. So it was really unexpected, the rest of the journey along the way.
So in that journey, what do you think was the key? You know, because you obviously had no expectations of winning or of doing really well in the event. So what do you think was the key thing that set you apart from the competitors that made you successful?
So actually, with no expectations, there's really no stress. So we really just went for I'm not sure if Noemi remembers, but we actually didn't really turn up for a lot of the actual number of hours we were at in the office wasn't very much because our school is just nearby, so we preferred the comforts of our school. Yeah. So because there wasn't any stress, we weren't focusing on any super big idea or something that could revolutionize the industry. So actually, the inspiration for Regal for this just came from trying to solve an actual problem that we faced. Actually,
did you come up with the idea for the Global Legal Hackathon?
The first step towards solving problems is to be lazy, because lazy people come up with the most interesting and efficient solutions. So the inspiration for the solution that we developed during the hackathon was actually a problem that I faced during one of my internships. So during the internship, I was actually tasked, and I think spent about a week downloading files, renaming files, and uploading files to populate a data room. This is, I think, the first step towards any, for example, mergers and acquisition. I got bored. So what I thought, so what I was thinking was, since
why?
I...
Why? That sounds riveting.
So what I thought was, since I was already going to have to rename the files, I might as well just check the contents of the file to make sure that they correspond. Otherwise, then I'll have to redo it again. And in doing so, as I was reading and confirming the documents, I actually realized that there were some missing documents because, for example, there was a reference here to something else, or there was a change in the total number of share certificates issued did not correspond to the share registry. So then I created a list and I passed it to the associate that I was assisting with. But then this got me thinking, which was that this is actually something that you can automate because these are very objective things. So then I didn't really think much more about it. Because this was somewhere in the second year of my university. And then, so fast forward to the Global Legal Hackathon. So we were brainstorming for ideas on what to do. So I was actually at that point in time TAing or just finished being a teaching assistant to my professor, who was Professor Ong Yi Ying, who was teaching mergers and acquisitions. So I was just telling her, "Oh, we're going to take part in this Global Legal Hackathon. We're brainstorming for problems." And so I asked her, "So what were some problems that you faced?" And she was saying, then she talked about the data room problem. Then I shared my experience, and she says, "Actually, the data room is populating the data room and doing the first level of due diligence is the most important step in any deal, but they usually send." Junior associates or trainees to do it. And that, so to her, she was quite baffled by it's a more efficient use of manpower, but it doesn't make sense because they don't have the experience or what to look out for. So with that in mind, that was what inspired us to develop the program to just map and draw out relationships to cut short the data room population time. Yeah.
So I guess once you identified the problem, what was the next step? How did you sort of link up with the technology, you know, people required and resources required to you know, at least have a prototype?
So on that particular point, I think a big shout out to the technical team who were with us on the project, Chongche, Shafiq, and Leonard. It's not just about having an idea or, you know, being able to code. Those are mainly the prerequisites for development of any solution. Actually, that require a lot of education on both ends. For them to understand what legal work actually required, and for us to understand data structuring, analytics, natural language processing, and all those things were things that we picked up along the way. So the entire experience with the Global Legal Hackathon has actually been a real growing and educational experience for us in knowing the limits now of what is possible. And I think Rodney can agree with this, but when we approach any problem or issue now, what pops into our head is not, okay, how many hours am I going to spend fixing this problem? It's, is there a better way that I can solve this issue using technology?
I think that I just have an additional point to make. Back to Rocio's question about how did we then move on after having identified the problem. And I think one of the key parts, key takeaways that really helped helped move the process along was not only the as Mark identified, the willingness to try to understand what the technology side is doing, or from the technology side, what the legal side is doing, but also finding that balance between not deferring too much to the other side. Because sometimes when we have been steeped in a particular industry or a particular school of thought for a very long time, we may be schooled in a certain manner that says that you this is possible and this is not, because this is just the way it has been done. But when someone else from a separate industry who has never been caged with these mindsets comes in, and they'll be looking at it from a completely different angle, and they'll be like, why can't I do it this way? Yeah. Sometimes they don't have to have the solution, they just have to ask the right questions.
They can question it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then shatter the mold.
So the weekend of the Global League, the virtual semifinal, which you won as well, and then you ended up representing Singapore in the global finals in New York, right? So tell us a bit more about that experience.
I actually can't remember, did we get any sleep? I think I did, but I don't think the coders did.
I didn't. So just to give you some perspective on what it was like, we had a paper on Monday. We flew on Wednesday. We flew back probably on Monday morning, and we had a paper on Wednesday when we landed. So it was almost back-to-back in terms of the scheduling for that, and me and Rodney were on the flight back, and we were studying, and we realized that the most conducive place to study is on a plane.
Yes, so if you can't study, buy a ticket to New York, and you'll have 14 hours with no Wi-Fi, and no form of entertainment but your notes.
So I think, as I said from the start, right, everything was unexpected. So it's unexected that we won the first round with the virtual round. It's unexpected that we were going to fly to New York. So a lot of the logistics along the way were actually part of the trials and tribulations we actually had to go through.
We learned a lot about fundraising. And yeah, I think not just that, Flip was also very helpful in helping us get the support we needed, not just financially, but also getting seniors to talk to us. So we met so many people. I can't name all of them. But if I miss any of them out, please, if you're hearing this, please forgive me.
This sounds like an Oscar speech.
I prepare every day.
Yeah.
You know, in case you get surprised by a surprise Oscar.
Oh, I've written my Oscar speech 15 years ago. It's all good.
So I think the first people that really gave us a lot of advice and help, not just for how we should approach problems, how we should structure the company, to even actually sending us to New York, was Ziegel. Because Ziegel was really helpful, especially Daniel. He gave us a lot of insight on what kind of business structure and how we should price it. I think he said that was actually a key feature that won him over to our side for the competition in 2018. Then Thomson Reuters as well. Actually, we we have then, after the competition, continued to be in touch with Thomson Reuters to understand more, because they themselves are quite involved in the legal tech space. Then from there, we really just, all the people that we met during the hackathon, we still keep in touch with them. For example, Michael and Rajesh, and who else?
Rajantan Technologies.
Yeah. And then this was before Rajantan Technologies. And then it's quite exciting because you really get to see the birth of the company. And you knew the people who were putting it together. So you really could see what was going on before the official announcement came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think going through the competition really opened a new world for us to be able to see what happens beyond what ordinarily, for example, if I were just another law graduate, I would see from the front.
So I think for me, I think everyone that we've met along the way that Rodney mentioned, they were very important in our journey. But apart from all of those, I think a great shout out as well to everyone else in the legal tech scene in Singapore. So, people like Sherilyn, the guys from Lex Quanta, Intellex, and so on and so forth. Everyone actually has been a really great help, and it's actually surprising how open the community is in some ways. And how everyone is willing to share, because we have a shared vision of where technology and how it's going to change the legal scene, not just in Singapore, but regionally and even globally. And it's great to be part of that conversation.
Yeah. And I think we were already very lucky, because we are already enjoying some of the fruits of labors from the legal technologists that had to pave the roads. So now at least it's a lot easier for us, and hopefully we can help lay more.
So it's been a year since the Global Legal Hackathon. What have you guys been up to ever since that experience finished? Has there been the birth of anything new?
We have actually had a chance to present to management on many, many different levels, and to get their input on actually what is required on the ground. And that actually has enabled us to get a much better grasp and feel for what the market is ready for, what problems they are facing on a day-to-day basis, and how we can actually be of service to them. And a large part of what that experience has taught us is that for us individually, it may be challenging right now to develop a fully fleshed out product, but in that process, we've actually found that working with partners has been a very important part of our journey as well. So we've been working alongside some partners who've been mentoring, sharing with us about what it takes to actually get started on your entire startup journey. And that has clearly been part of the conversation ever since the Global Legal Hackathon.
Yep.
So guys, we hear that there have been some major developments for Regal over the last couple of weeks, and that you have a big major announcement. Do you want to share that with us?
Drum roll first. So Regal has been acquired by Asia Law Network.
Woo! Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. How did that come about? Tell us more.
So as part of the entire journey that we've been going through over the last year, we've been working with some partners. And Asia Law Network has actually been one of those people. We've been reaching out to some of the lawyers through the network as well, and working closely with the practice management side in order to figure out some of the needs that lawyers require on a day-to-day basis. So as we were working on developments and talking through some of the ideas that we had, we realized there were many synergies that could be had between what a practice management solution could offer versus what we as an AI-focused back-end engine could offer for the lawyers on the ground. So as that conversation grew, we realized there were many synergies, both in terms of resources, in terms of personality fit, in terms of where we actually wanted to bring the product. And we felt that overall, we could arrive at a much better and holistic product much, much faster if we work together rather than separately.
Yep.
And that was actually the entire impetus behind that particular acquisition.
So it's actually what we really foresaw. The transformation of legal tech. The first wave of legal tech actually came in a long time ago in terms of practice management systems and what's not. And Asia Law Network has actually developed an impressive practice management system that's holistic and end-to-end called Tesseract. And then after we saw it, we were like, what we can do is we can add an extra layer of new technology, artificial intelligence, machine learning, to enhance the user experience, as well as the allow users to develop even greater insights. And we felt that Tesseract was just a great fit in order to be able to leverage off what they have already developed to bring this to the market.
Okay, so brilliant, guys. This is so, so exciting. Can you just walk us through the use case, right? So from the perspective of a lawyer, you know, how do I interact with both Tesseract and Regal? Like, what does that look like for me as a lawyer?
Okay, so I need to tell you a little bit about Regal and what the solution actually is. So the Regal solution is actually built around discovering hidden relationships and networks between people, organizations, and documents. And a large part of what you do is actually work with documents in order to extract the relevant information and draw out all this key hidden information for the lawyers or the decision makers in order for them to make a judgment. So some of the possible use cases for this is as a basic knowledge management system on the 21st century, whereby all these linkages have already been drawn for legal research purposes, for knowledge management purposes. But there are a whole bunch of other use cases in terms of the day-to-day work of a lawyer, including IP filings, court documents, and so on and so forth. So one of the key reasons why we actually partner with a practice management solution was that many of these things are things that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. They aren't point solutions per se. They are solutions that you use and are relevant throughout your entire practice. Which was why we thought working with a practice management solution was important, because that forms the foundation and the basis for everything that goes on in a law firm.
Can you share a little bit about your roadmap and sort of what are your first priorities as you begin to develop the tech? What are some of the key things that you're looking to improve or the key experiences that you're looking to address?
So thank you for the question on the roadmap of the future. I think right now we are working on developing baseline technologies to assist lawyers in their legal work in order to automate some of these processes that they deal with in dealing with their documentations, even in terms of onboarding their clients and so on and so forth. The great thing about working with a practice management solution is that we are very, very close to the ground in terms of working with lawyers and hearing direct feedback on what can be improved, where are their particular pain points. And with that particular feedback, we actually can go back and think about how our solutions could be better applied for that specific issues in mind, and to develop a more holistic solution across the board for all our users.
So that's brilliant. I guess if you had to describe maybe in three sentences, what are the key benefits that a lawyer, you know, kind of would have and why this combination of technologies will improve their lives, What would those be?
So I think the key benefit is that it's non-intrusive. It helps to the lawyer continues on with the exact way that they have been doing. So I think a large part of it is that it just runs in the background. The system learns itself. The data is automatically structured because you are already using the system to do your billings and what's not. But the key idea behind it is that you don't have to disrupt your current way of doing things or take time out, especially to train a program. So then this allows them to be able to in terms of using the system to just have better oversight of their practice, as well as make better informed decisions.
Great question. I think what we've actually found is that by some statistics, 20% of legal work today is just on legal research, finding the right documents. That means in a 40-hour week, you spend 8 hours a week, that's an entire day, just looking for documents, looking up different relations. And what we found is that with our technology assisting you, that time can actually be saved and cut. So the time saving alone is a big plus factor. I think the other thing that our entire system is actually built to do is discover hidden networks and hidden relations. So what we are trying to discover and show and highlight to the lawyers on the ground is all these unknown unknowns. You don't know that these links exist, these relationships exist, but the system is able to draw this up for you and apply it for your use on a day-to-day basis in your legal work. And I think that's very important. As we move towards the future, I've technology is more and more going to augment legal work. But the kind of the way that technology works should be non-intrusive in the sense that it supports your legal work, lets you focus on the true legal work at hand. In terms of drawing out legal arguments, in terms of formulating some of the strategies that you're actually advising on, and not so much the day-to-day administrative works of just sorting through documents or looking for that. And that's a key component of what we're trying to solve in order to enable lawyers to focus on legal work itself.
So the Global Legal Hackathon is coming back in 2019. We are organizing this from the 22nd to the 24th of February. We're partnering with Singtel, the legal team at Singtel, who've offered some great problem statements. They're offering us a really, really cool venue. So this should be another roaring success. I am sure that we are going to get some, you know, again, a very diverse group of people with students who are, you know, in the shoes you were in 12 months ago. What would be your top, well, you get one each. What would be your top one advice? What would be the one thing that you would like to offer to the teams who've never participated in a hackathon but are maybe on the fence and wondering if they want to sign up?
So I'll say definitely sign up. But when you sign up, if I have one piece of advice, it would be this. Listen. Don't just hear, but actually listen to the people around you, what they're saying, their ideas, and actually digest it before moving on. Because many people from many different perspectives on the same problem offers a more holistic and rounded approach to any particular issue. And someone else may just have the right answer to your particular question. So it's very important to keep an open mind to that and listen.
For me, I guess it's about being uncomfortable. So it's about, I mean, we have a tendency to sink into where it's comfortable. And actually, I think all of us at the back of our heads know when you're being put in a position when you're being uncomfortable, and then we immediately avoid it. But what I would say is for the next, is it 48 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for that 48 hours, maybe just be uncomfortable. But I think being uncomfortable helps you grow and learn a lot more in that short period of time. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. It has really been a delight.
Super fun.
To get to talk to you. And congratulations on your amazing success. It's incredible, incredible news and a great achievement. And, you know, hopefully this serves as great motivation for aspiring teams or aspiring lawyers and techies to, you know, to come together and really participate in the next Global Legal Hackathon happening.
Absolutely. So visit flip.org.sg. We have all of the details of the event that is happening from the 22nd to the 24th of February at Singtel at 8 George on Georgia Street. And we're also doing a boot camp. Details will be published on the Flip website under events. So check it out. We're really, really hoping to welcome all of you. It's going to be super fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.